Hi, I'm Ted Burns. I'm a MG specialist at the University of Virginia. Today I'm speaking with Charlene Hafer-Macko and Richard Macko. Charlene is an associate professor of neurology at the University of Maryland. She is an MG specialist. Her husband, Rich, is a professor of neurology also at the University of Maryland. His research focuses on exercise therapy for a number of neurological disorders. Charlene and Rich are currently studying the role of exercise in myasthenia gravis. So what I hope to do today is have them teach us a little about what we know about the benefits of exercise for the care of the patient with myasthenia gravis. And let me start with you, Charlene. Charlene, what do you currently tell MG patients now when they ask if they should exercise?
Well, the first thing that I like to know is that their myasthenia gravis is being actively managed and stable. Because in the setting of myasthenia crisis or new diagnosis of myasthenia gravis, that's not the time to exercise. So making sure that they're medically stable. Then the next thing I like to do is make sure that they talk to their doctor before starting any exercise program and make sure there's not another reason besides the myasthenia for them not to exercise. So once we've established that they're medically safe and that they could exercise, I actually think that it should be a part of the conversation with each myasthenic patient. And there are some things that I like to discuss when I'm thinking about an exercise prescription. So thinking about when they have the most energy. Often that's at the beginning of the day. Or timing around mestinon, when they have the best benefit from their mestinon or pyridostigmine medication. And then individualizing the program into something they like and enjoy that keeps them active. And some people don't like the word exercise, so increasing activity. And when they start, it's good to consider looking at their fatigue and how this activity affects their myasthenia.
So, okay. Charlene, when you monitor fatigue, how is that done? Is that just a very subjective thing, or do you give the patient any specific instructions?
Well, often when I'm seeing a patient clinically, we'll talk about fatigue and how this impacts their day. And so for each person, it's very subjective. So I like to make a scale from zero for the individual where they could do all their activities without any limitation, then consider 10 as having so much fatigue they just can't get out of a chair, get out of bed, and get going for the rest of the day. So making sure they look at their day and monitor their fatigue on this scale, we'd like to keep them more towards zero. And so if adding exercise or activities causes them to have more fatigue up towards that 10, then we need to adjust what they're doing.
Okay, great. I understand. Now, let me ask both of you, what do we currently know, and I'm thinking about the medical literature here, what do we know about the benefits of exercise in myasthenia gravis?
Well, Ted, I'll start off with this question because it's a very, very short answer. Not much. Next to nothing. There have only been a handful of exercise studies ever conducted in people with myasthenia gravis, and I find this remarkable because there have been thousands of studies done for such conditions as cardiac rehabilitation. Yet it's increasingly clear that many people, probably the majority with myasthenia, have poor fitness levels, fatigue through the day that limits their function, and generalized muscular weakness. And if you look at the research literature, there's only a single small study conducted in 11 individuals that provides evidence that 10 weeks, 2.5 months of resistive training can significantly improve leg strength by about 23% in people with medically stable myasthenia. The exercise did not worsen the myasthenia. That's very, very important. To my knowledge, there are no studies yet of aerobic exercise reported in the myasthenia gravis literature. So this one small study is a step in the right direction, but we have a lot more to learn.
And actually, I'll add on to this, Ted. There are three studies on pulmonary therapy or breathing exercises for myasthenia. And one of these is randomized, where it means people will, with a flip of a coin, get one treatment versus another. And they showed that the exercises for 8 weeks, 3 times a week, where people did breathing exercises, engaging their diaphragm, and also using their mouth to increase resistance. So if you purse your lips, you make a smaller opening and it makes it harder to breathe. These exercises were taught to the people. They did it at home for the 8 weeks or 2 months, and they showed that they improved their breathing capacity. The chest wall, which helps us breathe, increased, but it didn't really change the breathing numbers. But this is a step, again, in the right direction for increasing capacity to exercise and to be active.
Okay, thank you. So it sounds like we know a tiny bit, but there are many unanswered questions. And so let me ask you what questions need answering. And I also want to talk a little bit about the clinical trial you guys are doing. So I may add a question to that, which would be, what questions are you guys trying to answer right now?
Yes, I could summarize by saying that the field is really in its infancy. We know very little, and we have everything yet to learn about the health benefits of exercise in myasthenia gravis. But if you were going to package perhaps the three most important questions, number one would be, which individuals with myasthenia gravis can exercise safely? The second question, what types of exercise or exercise rehabilitation should be used? What modalities of training? And finally, you know, what are the health benefits? What's the bang for the buck? And let's start off with question one. All of the pilot studies and the few studies reported in the literature all look at individuals with medically stable myasthenia gravis that are approved for exercise by their doctor. So as Dr. Hafer-Macko said, it's probably prudent to avoid or minimize exercise during a period of an exacerbation. Now, let's go to question two. What types of exercise could be used or should be used? This is a very important question, as is the dosage, the timing, and the intensity. When we think of myasthenia gravis, you have to consider that it affects multiple body systems. Myasthenia gravis affects breathing, it affects muscular strength, and it clearly affects cardiovascular fitness. So based on this model, that there are multiple body systems affected by MG, we have developed an MGFA and a Veterans Administration Rehabilitation Research and Development funded pilot study of 3 months of 3 times per week exercise training. And this exercise training combines breathing exercises, aerobic exercise, and strength training. And that strength training is done with TheraBand, similar to physical therapy. I'll give you just some of the initial pilot results on our first cohort. We found that cardiovascular fitness levels are 20% below normal for our cohort on average with myasthenia gravis, and that the 3 months of training improves the fitness levels by 20%. Therefore, we're taking people basically back to a normal fitness level. The exercise is very well tolerated. We found something else that's probably even more remarkable is people with myasthenia gravis require 70% of their peak exercise capacity just to walk for 6 minutes on the floor, overground walking. Therefore, it's equivalent to running for an able-bodied individual. And following 3 months of the exercise training, individuals required only 50% of their peak exercise capacity. So you can imagine that walking became much, much easier. And finally, we found a 20% increase in leg strength with TheraBands done in our 3 month training program, so that you could say that this corroborates or agrees with the prior study of strength training in people with MG.
So not only did this exercise program, the other thing that we wanted to do was look and see, are they capable and is it safe? So with the walking training, our goal was to be able to walk 15 minutes on a treadmill. And many individuals had to actually walk on the treadmill, sit down, and then get up and do it again. So they actually took 2 or 3 risks to be able to walk 15 minutes. And what was exciting was after the end of this 3 month period of time, people were able to walk 30 minutes on the treadmill consistently. Everyone was able to do it. And just like people going to the gym, Bally's, and all the other health centers, as they stayed with the program, we started where they were capable of walking. They increased their walking speed almost doubled. So went from almost 1.5 miles per hour to 3 miles per hour walking on a treadmill. So they were able to walk faster and walk longer. For some individuals, we had to increase the steepness of how they walk or the grade of the treadmill to get the aerobic intensity that we wanted to get. So they were able to make significant gains in terms of their abilities. But in addition to walking on the treadmill, we also look to see how this translates into walking at home in the community. So one of the tests that we do is something called a 6-minute walk. And we have people walk as fast as they can comfortably over that 6-minute period of time. And people covered about 15 to 20% more distance than they did at the beginning of the study. Their walking speed increased, so where they were comfortable walking, about 28% gain. So you think about that, you can accomplish more if you can walk a little bit faster, you can cover more distance in a shorter period of time. So you think about shopping, you think about the chores you have at home. And we also put step monitors on these individuals and recorded the number of steps that they took throughout the day. And they increased from 5,000 steps a day to 7,000 steps a day, which means they were capable of doing more throughout the day consistently after the 3-month exercise program.
So some very promising preliminary results. Is this a funded trial?
This is funded through the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation, a pilot grant, as well as through the Maryland Veterans Association Rehabilitation Center.
So if you look at what the preliminary results show from the study, it's rather remarkable. What we see in individuals with medically stable MG is that there are improvements or normalization in cardiovascular fitness, major improvements in walking efficiency, which might reduce daily fatigue, improvements in leg strength, walking speed, and pulmonary function, and this appears to translate into about a 20% improvement in free living step activity. So the benefits may transfer into everyday life, and we think that's one of the most important outcomes of all.
Great. And when might this study be completed? Any estimate?
Well, this is a pilot study, so what we are hoping is we're actually applying for funding at the Veterans Administration as well as NIH to do a much larger clinical trial of exercise.
Well, I certainly look forward to hearing of more results, and sounds like we may have another podcast interview in hopefully the near future. Any final comments you'd like to make for the patients and families listening to this podcast interview?
Well, I'd like to make a comment that what Dr. Hafer-Macko has found out from this initial study in myasthenia gravis is that very, very many people with MG have increased body fat and reduced muscle mass, and that this combination of poor fitness and increased fat and reduced muscle mass increases the risk for the metabolic syndrome that can lead to diabetes. Some of the future and most important questions that we'll be looking at with exercise is how can we improve the cardiovascular health and metabolic profile for individuals with MG to make them as healthy as possible.
And what's exciting is the Healthy People 2020 suggests that we should all be exercising. And as you look at the health benefits, the ones that we're not looking at in what we've presented today are exercise's benefit for weight loss, improving the muscle, beneficial effects on blood pressure, glucose and cholesterol, bone density, mood, and sleep. So there are so many other things that we could be looking at.
And I think our goal is to empower the individual with myasthenia gravis to improve their physical function and cardiovascular health with an exercise program that's custom to their abilities and is continued, you know, 3 times a week at least.
Okay, great. Rich, Charlene, thank you both for your time today. I learned quite a bit and really enjoyed myself. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you.